Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Wonderful. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless this day. We celebrate the resurrection of your Son, our Savior, our King, and our God. Father, what a day it is to be alive. What an awesome day, and what an awesome God. We bless your holy name, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please take your seats. Thank you. It's Easter Sunday, but I've shoplifted a Bible. So I'm a proper criminal today until I've paid for it. So I must remember to pay in the bookshop. Hallelujah. It's for a wonderful son of mine out in the car park. Brother Craig, what a wonderful guy he is. I thank God for the car parking ministry. It's one of the most thankless tasks that you can do in the house of the Lord. And they do it so willingly, Joel and his team. And I really give God praise for those guys out there. You know what? It would be good to just bless them occasionally. Just wind down your window and throw them a tenner or something bigger if you have it. No coins, please, because they're dangerous if you're throwing them out the window. But we thank God. Amen. Happy Easter, everyone. Resurrection Sunday, what a great day to be alive, and what a joy it is to be here in this free-flowing 9 a.m. service. Glory to God. I really believe God's going to expand you. He's going to grow you. It's your time. It's your season. He's raising up men and women of God from within the house as well. And that's one of the things I love about the ministry here at Harvest is the number of people that we've launched into ministry. We have never, and by God's grace, we never will ever hold this pulpit as a place where, you know, I'm the man of God and Pastor Joe's the woman of God and woe betide anyone who comes near. Absolutely not. No, we believe in raising up leaders. We believe in being a blessing to the body of Christ and serving London and the outer parts of the world wherever God sends us to be ambassadors and envoys. So we give God praise for that. And I just want to thank God for one of the sons of the house, Michael Kamau, who ministered yesterday so powerfully under the anointing of God in Chesham, in Buckinghamshire there. And everything I've heard about it was wonderful. So we thank God for your life. It's your season. It's your time. Get married in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Bible says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So favor is part of the package. Hallelujah. But I want to minister to you today on looking for all the right things in all the wrong places. That was the first thing that came out of Godfrey's mouth this morning as I came in. And I had named my message something else. But when I looked at the content, I thought, you know what? Godfrey's title is better than mine. So I'm just going to steal it. Hallelujah. Some of the best things in the body of Christ are stolen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you know, we know the story of when Jesus rose from the dead, and one of the angels said to, was it Mary Magdalene or somewhere? He said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" There are people here in this nation today, and they are seeking a living Jesus in a dead religion. You know, religion can't get you where you need to be in life. If you're seeking eternal life, you'll never find it in religion. You know, you can stand up and sit down and kneel down and cross yourself and everything like that as much as you like. You can worship idols and, you know, go to these temples where they've got all kind of weird looking gods and like all sorts of stuff. You know, you go into some shops sometimes and you see these gods over the cash till watching as you're spending your money to swallow your money. And the guys working in those shops, they never prosper. Never. You could have three generations working in the thing because the idol is over the thing swallowing the money. And, you know, what are they doing? They're looking for the right thing, but in the wrong places, you know? And somebody told me about his religion once. I won't name the religion because some people from that religion are easily offended. But he said, you know, in our religion, space travel is not permitted. And I said, what is this?
He said, yeah. He said, because in our religion, we have to pray facing a particular place. He said, so the trouble is, you know, if you were on the space station, you'd be orbiting the Earth 15 times a day. He said, so if you're going to face this place, he said, you'd have to be a break dancer to be able to fulfill your prayers. So, like, that's, you know, religion can mess you up, right? Thank God for eternal life in Christ Jesus. Thank God. May you never become religious in Jesus' mighty name. May you always be looking for the right things in the right places. Hallelujah. May you never seek the living among the dead. There's something about our God. He's alive. It's a vibrancy. You know, I don't particularly like to celebrate Good Friday because there's something about the atmosphere of Good Friday that swallows the resurrection power of Easter Sunday, because our God is risen from the dead. And the Bible says that he despised the shame of the cross, but he endured it for us. So I would much rather celebrate the resurrection than the cross. Hallelujah. If you believe it, say amen yourself. Because our God is risen and he has given us eternal life. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse number 1, one of my favorite scriptures, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. I remember preaching a message about 15 years ago encouraging God's people to become benefit scroungers. You know, it was all over the media back then about, you know, so-and-so claiming benefits and then going on a holiday to Spain and everything like that. And, you know, benefit scroungers had a really bad name. And then I read Psalm 103 about forgetting not all of his benefits. And I said, you know what? It's time for us to become benefit scroungers in God, but not looking to the government. You see, a person who's a benefit scrounger in the natural, what are they doing? They're looking for the right thing, but in the wrong places. And you can't get what you need from government assistance. You'd starve. Hey, my goodness. And then just when you thought you landed, they would chop the thing anyway. And you have to start all over again. May God deliver us from that kind of benefit scrounger. But I want to encourage you today to be a benefit scrounger in Christ. The Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south, but God is the judge. He will lift one up and put another down. In other words, the same God that we serve, he can lift you up. Whatever level you're at, he can take you further. There's always further. There's always higher. There's always faster. There's always more luxurious. I thought I was spending money when I spent, you know, like £10,000 on a watch until I saw one for £163,000. I like that one better. May God take you where you've never been in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And as I was praying for this service, I saw something about a very familiar story. And you know, we are right now in a lost, sick, and dying world. People are looking for the right things, but they're looking for it in all the wrong places. And I was praying about that, and I was saying, Lord, you know, my heart went out to a particular young lady who came for the first time to the half night on Friday night, and a very, very sad story. You know, it was obvious to me as I was praying for her at the back. I was just sat at the back, and I love to just look out over the congregation and see what God is doing in the lives of people and see if I can pick prophetic things. And there was just a ring of love over this young lady who'd just been in a church for the first time in her life. And, you know, the half night isn't the best place to start. We're a bit kind of loud and rowdy and radical, but she didn't care. And in fact, Chris, your wife, Hyatt, just ministered to her so amazingly. And I just saw like a ring of love around this woman as a result. And I could see God ministering real deep into her heart, because you could tell in life that she'd been looking for the right things, but in all the wrong places. And it's just that my heart went out to that girl. In fact, the same person, somebody else gave her a hug and said, look, you know, if you ever need a father, I'll be a father to you. And she broke, because it's the first time that she'd received love and affection without there being any kind of sexual or immoral agenda in her life. And she'd never encountered that before. You see, we have what people have never encountered before. It's a precious thing. The Bible calls it a precious faith. Our faith is very precious. And so we have to guard it and really minister in it into the lives of this lost and sick and dying world. And as I was praying for this woman, I was reminded of, you know, the story of the woman at the well. It's a very familiar story to us if you've been born again more than a year, in John chapter 4. Of this woman from Samaria who is going out in the time of Jesus. She's going out to draw water in the afternoon, which is a very strange thing on its own, because back then, you know, the heat is so hot, they would either draw water in the morning or the evening time. If you came out in the afternoon to draw water, it meant that you were ostracized from the people around you because you'd find nobody at the well. In fact, in midday in those places, even today, you'll find very few people out on the street because they'll do their business in the morning or at night. Some friend of mine in Dubai, ministers over in Dubai, and he said, you know, he said, over here in the Middle East, he said, people are like owls. They just come out at night. So the majority of everything is done, you know, between the hours of 11 in the night and like 2 o'clock in the morning. But in the afternoon, you'll find no one there because it's hot. And the only people you'll find out there are people who either don't know the score socially or they've been ostracized socially. And here's this woman coming out to draw water. Jesus is at the well, and Jesus says to her, you know, give me a drink. And she says, hang on a second, you're Jewish, I'm Samaritan. There's a great barrier between us. I don't know what the equivalent would be today, but there would be some like major, major cultural boundary between this woman serving this woman and this man, and this man even asking her to serve him. And he says, listen, he says, if you knew who I was, he said, you'd be asking me for living water. And then she says, wow, what, I'd never have to come back here again. And of course, he's talking about eternal life, and she's talking about the day-to-day stuff, right? And then he says something to her. He says, go call your husband. And she says, I don't have one. He says, you're right. He says, you've had 5 husbands. Now, think about this, right? I mean, it's hard enough to get 1 husband, right? I mean, a good, do you understand? And this woman's gone through 5. It's like, wow. In fact, let me borrow 5 husbands now, and I'll show you, even in God's house, how difficult it is to find 5 husbands. So, Eke, Temi, see, I have to bypass this suspect already. Wafa P, see, another suspect here. Terry, and then we have to go all the way back to Dudley. Dudley, come up here for a second. Wonderful. Ralph, you're hitched in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, look at this, right? This woman has gone through 5 guys. I'm not talking about 5 guys, the burger shack. I mean, that's a good... Have you ever had 5 guys? Well, it was named after the woman at the well. That one will drop in about a week's time. 5 guys. You know the hamburger? Oh, God, man, you guys. It's the 9 o'clock service. That's what it is. You're still waking up. Okay. Now, you think about this. What this woman has been through. I was thinking, what was it? She was either incredibly beautiful or incredibly loaded. Am I telling the truth? I mean, to get 1 husband is hard enough. But to get 5, I mean, this woman has got something, what do you say in Ghana? There's something about her, we don't quite know what it is, right? Now, you think about it. What is she looking for in these 5 guys? What is it that has caused her to go through 5? And Jesus says, you've had 5, you're right. He says, you've had 5 husbands. God gave him a word of knowledge. You've had 5 husbands. And the one that you're with now, so really, there's a number 6. So you can be number 6 there, chief suspect, quick. Push. So now, what on earth, can these guys give her? What is she looking for in these guys? There must be, it must have been more than natural what she was looking for. Because, dude, if you can't get it at 5, why bother with number 6? Right? In fact, I was going through, as I was studying out this message, I was going through some quotes of people who have been married a number of times before, and they have been known for being multiple marriers, right? Anyone here heard of Zsa Gabor? Yes. Right. Now, she was the first one, really, who was famous for being famous. I think she'd been in one movie, but she made such an impression. She was like that woman, if you've ever seen the woman from the Huffington Post, you know, the chief editor, she's like Hungarian, like really loud, hello, darling, that kind of thing. Well, Zsa Gabor was a lot like that woman, right? And here's what she said. Let me find some of these things that she said. She said, number one, she said, men love me, she said, because I'm an excellent housekeeper. Every time I get a divorce, I keep the house, right? She said, darling, there's nothing wrong with a woman encouraging a man's advances, as long as those advances are in cash. She said, I know nothing about sex because I was always married. I want a man who's kind and understanding. Is that too much to ask of a millionaire? Imagine. She said, I never hated a man enough to give him his diamonds back. Hey, now this woman, she'd been through a trailer load of husbands. She was world famous for being married and divorced. Now you think about this woman at the well, married and divorced, 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 and then not even bothering to marry. The one you're with, Jesus said, now he's not even your husband. Hey, more Zsa Gabor, please, Pastor P. Okay, let's get through the adverts. One second, I'll find that. There was one brilliant one. Oh, no, let me find the Rod Stewart ones. You all know Rod Stewart, right? Right. Oh, here's another one before I go. She said, a man in love is incomplete until he has married. Then he's finished. Rod Stewart. Now, Rod Stewart was, again, famous for being married and divorced. You know the singer, Wake Up Maggie, I Think I Got Some. He's a very talented guy, real songwriter. He's known for two things. He's known, well, three things, really. Being a good singer, being married serially, and being a model railway enthusiast. And where that third one comes in, I really haven't got a clue, right? And so he said this. He said, what I'm going to do now, instead of getting married and then getting divorced and getting married and then getting divorced, he said, I've changed my strategy. What I'm going to do from now on, he said, I'm going to find a girl I like and just buy her a house. In other words, he used to marry and then the woman would get the house in the divorce and he'd end up with no woman and no house. So he said, we'll just cut straight to the chase and just buy her a house. Now, can you imagine? You see, what is that? We're looking for the right. There's certain things, right, that even marriage, there's a certain incompleteness in a human being. Who was it? I think it was Martin Luther. He said, there's a God-shaped hole in every one of us. And you think about what the world tries to fill that God-shaped hole with. We will try anything. And when we run out of everything, we'll virtually try nothing at all. And I thought about this. I thought, wow, thank God for the privilege of salvation. Thank God that we didn't have to go through. You know, some of us had to go through stuff before we got saved. What does he say? That he said, the zigzags of life are but a straight line to God. And I think that's a very, very powerful quote. You know, you see people go through stuff. And there's a point of readiness that they get to. By God's grace, we'll be there to meet them so that we can lead them to Jesus.
I remember the story of somebody who was sitting on a bus, and all of a sudden the woman beside her just started to just pour out her heart. You know the way women do. Men, we don't do that. We have like a little cave that we go into, come and, you know, like try and sort our business out ourselves. Women are made more, I don't know what it is. What is it? Is it an emotional thing or something? You know, if there's a women's meeting, there's like 500 women at it. If it's a men's meeting, 6. Do you know, honestly, men's ministry, that's why it's notoriously hard, because men really are cavemen. We just knock up off the word cave before we become men. And this woman sat beside the other woman on the bus, and she just started, you know, how's your day? Oh, you look a bit full on. Oh, yeah, I've had this, I've had that, I've had the other. And besides this, you know, like, you know, the classic things, divorce, cancer, all sorts of stuff, redundancy in the family. And, you know, the woman sitting beside her knew that this was just ripe fruit. You see, I'm saying this, it's our year of expansion. Ripe fruit is going to be right beside us. And we need to know what to say and what to do when that opportunity comes. And the woman just leaned over to her. She says, do you know what you need? She said, you need Jesus. And the other woman said, you know what, I really do. It's like all of a sudden, bang. Do you see what I mean? Some people have to go through the 5 husbands. Right? What is that? That's 5, like, I mean, 1 husband will give you tragedy enough, ladies. Amen. Yeah. You ask my wife. My goodness, 1 husband is tragedy enough. She got another parking fine last week. She tried to hide it from me. And it came out yesterday. I wish God would give me a word of knowledge when she gets these things so I don't have to rummage around and find them. Imagine. Jesus is Lord. So instead of 5 husbands, it's 5 parking tickets. But you see, there's the things of life that we go through. For the believer, these things through life are fashioning us. They're forming us. They're bringing us to a place of submission. They're bringing us to a place of refinement. You think of how many things that you've been through in life that have refined you, all the rough edges that have turned you into the man that God has prepared you to be, into the woman that God has prepared you to be, into the wife that God has prepared you to be. A friend of ours came over who was one of our, she was a very close friend when Joey got married. We don't get to see her often because she's incredibly busy. But, you know, she came over yesterday and we were just talking about the changes in my wife since getting married, and all the insecurity that she used to have, and all the kind of fear of man. I mean, she was so full of fear of man that, you know, because she came from a middle-class family, when we did our wedding invites, she wouldn't let me put a phone number on the RSVP because that wasn't the middle-class thing to do. And I said, look, I said, my love, no one's going to respond by letter. Letters are old school. Nowadays, it's text messy. This is 1995. You know, the planet was waking up to mobile phones. And I said, you know, people will call. They'll give you, you know, a mobile phone message or anything like that to tell you they're coming. They're not going to write back and everything like that. So then it gets to about 4 weeks before the wedding. We hadn't heard from anyone. And I said, I told you so. Now you've got to go and make the calls instead of them calling you. Serves you right. And she'd forgotten totally about this. I remembered it, so I stuck it in her new book. Hallelujah. It was a major ruck at the time, but, you know, praise God. What was that? That's fear of man. And she was so full of all this stuff. But God, over the process of time and refinement, you think about those. I often think about the 5 smooth stones that killed Goliath. You know, the Bible, the Holy Spirit puts in the Word of God that these stones weren't just, it wasn't an ordinary stone, it was 5. And it wasn't just 5, they were smooth. So the Bible says he pulled them from the brook. And you know, smooth stones, you imagine how many hundreds of years had been like refining those stones so that one day David could pick those, put them in his bag, and one of those stones would be chosen to knock the head clean off of Israel's enemy. Their enemy for hundreds of years was giants. You remember when they entered into the wilderness and God said, go spy out the land. And they went in, and what did they say? He said, there's giants there. right? So giants became an argument between Israel and breakthrough from that time of Moses, right? And so David, now he's facing that, but the spirit of breakthrough is on him. David was a worshiper. I thank God for that worship we had on Friday night at the half night. It was very, very powerful time. In fact, God healed you even during the worship. She sent a testimony to the leaders. I'd love for you to share that either at 11 o'clock or the following week for testimony time. And because you, when you're in that atmosphere of worship, it changes you. It's like the water running over those smooth stones. And those stones became the object of breakthrough. But they were smooth. The edges had to be knocked off them. So you see what this woman is going through. She's looking for all the right things, but she's looking for it in all the wrong places. You know, what was she looking for? And you know what? I think from having read that story, like just searching out the thing, I think one of the things at least that she was looking for was security. There's a certain sense of security that a husband can give you, a certain sense of stability that a husband can give you. So hurry up. Okay. There's just that thing around you as a, you know, because I was asking my wife about this. She says, you know, I feel covered by you. There's a covering that a husband can bring. Ladies, I'm not a lady, so I don't know. Is that the case? Yes. Right, right. So a good husband will cover his wife, right? Now, maybe this woman was waiting for these things, like she said, hey, okay, off you go on, sit down, husband number one, you're sacked. And then she's there with husband number two. Maybe I'll find in him what I couldn't find in husband number one. And you know what, this is why, one of the reasons why God hates divorce, right, is because the work that he wants to do in you as a woman through husband number one, or as a husband through wife number one, if he can't do it there, right, and you cut the covenant and run, then what are you going to run slap bang into? It's just that God will dress the thing up a little bit more. Why? He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. So my advice, stick with number one. Good preaching, Pastor Pete. Say it again. Stick with number one. The Bible says God has given us divorce because of hardness of heart, right? So there's a work that God wants to do on the inside of us. But if we become hard-hearted to the machine tool that God has given us to refine us, then what's going to happen? We're going to cut and run. He's going to dress that machine tool up, ladies, as a pair of shoes or as something else lovely that you like. And then you're going to run slap bang when that wrapping paper comes off. You're going to find, oh my gosh, you're exactly like my last husband. You're fired. Please, husband number two, take your seat. So then husband number three, she says, there's something about, I know he's different to the other two. This one is great. And then suddenly husband number three is run off with wife number two. You understand? And you think about it. What is the world doing right now is looking for the right thing in all the wrong places. It's exactly like what that angel said to Mary. Why are you looking for the dead, the living among the dead? You're not going to find him here, right? And now Mr. Rod Stewart is with wife number four. And what's going to happen? It's like, oh my goodness, you know what? I may as well just cut to the chase. Like he said, I may as well just forget about marriage and buy her a house. How sad then that this thing that God has given mankind to represent the relationship between Christ and his body, the church, has now become an object of breakdown for people. How many people have we ministered to, even in Harvest alone? How many people have we ministered to because of marriage failure? Wow. Why? There's certain things that marriage can never give you. Never. Because there's a God-shaped hole in each one of us. And when you fill that God-shaped hole, God can give you a whole marriage. Your marriage can be healed. You can be the wife that God ordained you to be for your husband. And husbands, you can be the husband that God has ordained you to be for your wife. So she's on this journey now. She's getting desperate because husband number three's run off with wife number two. And I really do think she was loaded. Because this time, even a woman who's been through three husbands, she's going to start looking old. Am I right? So even if she was beautiful at the outset, there's no way that, you know. And then she thinks she's found husband number four, marvelous, but he dies. And now she's stuck with husband number five. By this time, any husband will do. Hallelujah. This is for illustrative purposes only. I know he's a marvelous husband. Praise God. And then something happens with him. His mum becomes sick. He's originally from Syrophoenicia, so he has to go back to Syrophoenicia, forgets the wife altogether, and she's thinking, gosh. And what happens then? Number six. But listen to me, brothers and sisters, there's a divine appointment. She's going out to get water. And what happens to her? You see, there's people now, this year of expansion, there's people now, they're going out for a job interview because they think the job is going to be the answer. But they're going to meet Jesus Christ. God is setting them up for a divine appointment. There's other people, they're in the doctor's surgery and the doctor has told them it's over. And they know somehow that they've got to get, they know that life isn't over for them, but everything, every circumstance going is telling them it's over. But somehow they're going to hear of something. You think about it. There was a woman with an issue of blood. Somehow she heard about Jesus Christ. So she leaves husband number six and she goes out for water. Now, husband number six, obviously, he says they're not married. So they're just shaking up now. So husband number six is at home and she's going out to draw water and she meets eternal water. And somehow, you see, now we never hear about this woman at the well again. But I know that because the God-shaped hole in her was filled, everything else changed. Everything else changed. Thank God. There was a God-shaped hole in me. I didn't even know it. I was so full of insecurity. I was so full of hurt and pain and frustration. I mean, I'd have murdered somebody clear if I hadn't gotten saved. Guaranteed. I was so full of frustration. Just literally just boiling over. Imagine at the age of 18, just loaded, heaped. But somehow God, who is rich in mercy, took my life and changed it for the better. May we become the guys at the well, that when these people are coming out to draw water, might be the water of a job, it might be the water of a relationship, it might be the water of bad news, it might be whatever it is that they're coming out to draw. May we be the ones that they bump into in the mighty name of Jesus. And may we share our living water with them in Jesus' mighty name. Would you like to stand to your feet right now? I just want to thank God for his word and I want to pray that your heart will come alive to these people. People, they don't know where their tomorrow is. People who have literally, now you think about this woman, she had run out of ideas. She's on husband number six and he wasn't even the husband. She was all out of ideas. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we pray, Lord God, for this city. We pray for the people in it who have run out of ideas, Lord God. They know that there's a God-shaped hole on the inside of them, but they don't know how to fill it. They've got nowhere to go. They've got nowhere to grow. They've got no options available. They've run completely out of things and they don't know where next to look. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you use us, Lord God, that we wouldn't keep that living water to ourselves, but that, Lord, we would share it. We would bring it to their lives. We would display the goodness of God
And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you'll use us as instruments, vessels of redemption, vessels of salvation. Lord God, every one of us here can be a bucket that can be dipped into the well of living water to draw water for somebody else. Every single one of us here can be used that way. Use us for your glory, Heavenly Father. Use us to reach the unreached. Use us to touch the untouched. Use us, Heavenly Father, to reach out to all those people that are looking for the right things in all the wrong places. We thank you for your word today, Lord God. Let it touch our hearts, Heavenly Father. Let it go deep, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.